This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC. It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah, it's one of those nights. Let's get into it. 888-808-1019. Listen, it's the sports equinox, right? We got an 80-plus degree day in New York City. We have four major teams playing. The New York Yankees, they were not playing. Right away. Bop, 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 bop. Kyle Gibson, we appreciate you. Carlos Rodon, we appreciate you. How about the make it happen Mets? They don't lose at home. That Mets defense making plays all over the field, hitting home runs, raising the apple. The Knicks, I know all of the calls are going to come in at 888-808-1019. The Knicks do not close out Detroit at home. I don't know what was going on in the fourth quarter as I'm sitting in it. I was watching it on my phone, and then I came in here. And I'm still just like, how do you let your closer, the clutch player of the year, miss the like winning time moments? Like, how do you not have him on the floor? And again, we go back to game two where they lost game two. And I mean, Bridges hit some shots down the stretch, but it was like, it was on Bridges. Shouldn't be on Mikal Bridges. And not only was Josh Hart not in the game, or not only was Jalen Brunson not in the game, Josh Hart wasn't in the game, and a whole minute runs off the clock before you can get him in the game. It was almost like they were conceding the loss, like, oh, yeah, y'all got us. Y'all got the best of us this time, but still they made it close. OG hits the three, and, you know, ultimately Detroit wasn't going quietly. They were mad. They were pissed off about the no call in game four. And you knew that they were coming in here fighting for their lives. And, you know, this Knicks game, high ticket prices, almost $500 to get in. And you're prepared for an elimination game, a party in the streets. But, like, right away, both teams look tight. You know, there was a lot of missed baskets, tense. It's an elimination game. It's potentially the last game of the season. It's not now. You know, it was low scoring. Native New Yorker Tobias Harris out there cooking up the quote-unquote best player in the series. Cade Cunningham leads Detroit with 24 points, and down the stretch, it seems like he's growing up a little bit in this series. He's doing what he's got to do. He was a plus 13, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, hit his free throws. In my live chat, somebody was just saying to me, Mitchell Robinson hit your free throws. I said, that's not part of his game. That's not, you can't be relying on Mitchell Robinson to hit his free throws. But when you look at the like free throws in totality, When you lose a game at home by 3 points and you shoot 59.3% from the charity stripe, that's not good. 888-808-1019. That's not good. 16 of 27 from the free throw line. And I don't want to say the Knicks look tired. I don't want to say they look hurt. I mean, obviously, guys were hurt at the end. Josh Hart was hurt at the end. But they kind of just look like, again, like they ran out of gas. Knicks fans, call me up. Tell me how you feel, because I felt like they needed to close that one out, Knicks in five at home. I think everybody was saying that. You got to close them out. Got to close them. Remember last year with the Sixers, and, you know, you don't want to go back to Detroit. Well, you're going back to Michigan now. And not for nothing, Detroit hasn't won anything in their building. But, like, that's subject to change. Are they going to go winless at home? Are they going to go winless in their building? I don't know. The Knicks had the opportunity tonight to potentially do it, but it was too close. It was too close. It was never, there was never a real time in that game where you felt like the Knicks had it. They didn't have, the largest lead they had was five. The Pistons doubled that. Their largest lead was 10. And in a game like that, you just could feel that the Pistons weren't going. When I say they weren't going, they were hanging around. They didn't want their season to end tonight. And there was no heroics. Karl Anthony Towns does give you 17 points, 11 rebounds. But, like, down the stretch, you don't have the heroics to close it out. And there's going to be a lot of people talking about how those last minutes played out in the fourth quarter. 888-808-1019. If you're coming from the Knicks game, call us up. If you just watched that Knicks game, call us up. If you're just kind of stunned after that Knicks game, call us up. We will get to the Yankees. We will get to the Mets. For my Devils fans out there, there's about 7.5 minutes left in the first overtime period down in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Devils are fighting for their lives. They go up 3-0 in the first period, give it all right back. Nico Hischier is able to score a goal, and then here come the Hurricanes to tie it up 4-4, and it's been 4-4, and now we just wait to see who's the first to ring the lamp, light the lamp. It's one of those nights, sports equinox. You got basketball, you got baseball, you got hockey. Let's talk about it. Robbie is in Lenox, first up on the Fan. Go for it, Robbie.
Hey, Keith, it's a pleasure to be first on the show, man. Listen, I got to tell you something tonight, all right? I saw the last Knicks championship in 1973, all right? So I come from a very different generation of basketball than a lot of your callers would, okay? But tonight, it makes me sick. When you see an NBA team shoot 59% from the charity stripe, okay, that's why they lost this game. I don't want to hear about anything else. You can't make a free throw. To me, you know, I'd love to see Rick Barry come in and teach Mitchell Robinson how to shoot underhanded, because Mitchell Robinson can't make a free throw, and it's very tough because I love Mitchell Robinson, but when he's out there, he gets fouls. You know, he's not going to make both free throws. And it's a detriment, and at the same time, it's a blessing that he's on the court. You know what I mean, Keith? And it's very, very difficult to watch the NBA today. I mean, how many can you just tell me, because I didn't see how many touches did Karl Anthony Towns get tonight in this game? Can you tell me at all? Do you have the stats on that? I wonder.
I can try and go pull how many times he had the ball. I can tell you how many times he shot it.
Okay, because it drives me crazy when you have a 7-foot guy standing 30 feet away from the basket. See, this is the problem I have with the NBA today. All it is, half the time, 90% of the time, all you do is see four guys standing around the perimeter and one guy dribbling the basketball trying to go one-on-one. And the other thing that bothers me tonight is, how many stinking times do I need to see Cunningham inside the paint and other players on the Pistons get easy dunks time after time after time? Did you watch the end of the Indiana game tonight? How ridiculous that game was?
No, I know it was close, though, and Indiana closed them out.
Yeah, they closed them out. And in the last play, I couldn't believe it. Watching their guard just go around Giannis and just an easy basket. You see so many easy lay-ins. Guys don't play above the rim enough. This Knick team doesn't play above the rim. And again, you know, I've said it so many times about this team. There's no depth. You have nobody coming off the bench. This team needs a Vinny Johnson. This team needs that type of player to give them energy. That's what Josh Hart used to be coming off the bench. That's why I like Josh Hart coming off the bench better. He was good tonight, though. When he gets 17 or 18 points, Keith, that's good. But when Karl Anthony Towns scored 17 points and Jalen Brunson gets 17, that's not good. I mean, if they lose to the Pistons, that's embarrassing. I'm sorry. I still think they're going to close out the series, that they need to share the ball more. And damn it, can you go inside and stop trying to shoot three-pointers all the time? It's such nauseam. The idea of basketball is to get the ball close to the basket. Anyway, I've had my share. Anyway, your Devils, Jacob Markstrom was standing on his head right now, Keith. Anyway,
yeah, he better. Time, he better yeah. after he gave he it better, all back in the second period. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I'm trying to look at the, you know, last few possessions to go back to see Karl Anthony Towns. I think around 3 minutes, 3:25. Karl Anthony Towns made a 26-foot three-pointer. After that, though, down the stretch, it was Mikal Bridges. Karl Anthony Towns wasn't really the guy with the ball. From what you saw, what I saw, he wasn't the guy taking the shots. It was, you know, Miles McBride. It was Mikal Bridges. He missed a couple, but he also hit a big one. OG hit one. But, you know, when you talk about Josh Hart coming into the game, it just all comes down to me like that. That 2 minute mark when they got up to try to get them in the game and then they couldn't get back into the game till it was already done. It was already wraps. You know how it, you know, it crunches at the end of the game where if they got a lead and it's fouls and they hit their foul shots and you don't hit your foul shots, that's game blouses. So 888-808-1019. I'll pull up some more numbers and some different things. Dial the number. Join the show. We've got Knicks fans calling in. We'll start with the Knicks. The Knicks lose 106-103 in the Garden to the Detroit Pistons. The series is now 3-2, heading back to Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We will be right back. Man, it's just a strange way to lose on your home floor, and now you've already lost two games on your home floor to a team that hasn't been able to win on their home floor, and you got to go back to their home floor. I don't know, man. My whole thing that I was trying to wrap my mind around was calling timeout. And why two of your best players, your most clutch player, and then arguably your toughest, grittiest, you know, glue guy, aren't on. And I know they were hurt, they were tired, but still, it's the playoffs. So let's hear from, in the post game, New York Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau.
Tom, when you had Jalen and Josh there on the scores table waiting to check it, get in, what was the thought process of not calling a timeout or not getting them back in the game as that lead kind of went up?
Just where we were with our timeouts, coach's decision.
Your overall thoughts on the officiating today?
It is what it is.
Coach, how hard is it for players to adjust when the game is just called differently, right? From the first couple of games, it was very physical, both sides. This one, it seemed like they were calling touch fouls versus before. What's it like for a player to adjust? What's the message to them to adjust?
You got to adjust the way they call it.
When Steph was referencing, you were, I think, one foul away from the bonus. Is that why you chose not to foul there, too, to stop the clock to get those guys in?
Just coach's decision.
Tom, just more specifically on that, like when you have one timeout in that situation, you obviously don't want to go into the close part of the game and the end of the game with no timeouts. What are you weighing there in order to try to get guys in? Like, is there a marker that you're waiting for?
Well, you're looking time, score, penalty, timeouts, all of the above. What's happening in the game? Do you feel like the next possession, you know, we'll put it away? Like, there's a lot that goes into it.
Tom, you talked before the game about the focus on tonight. But again, a 10-point deficit in the second half. Do you see the same sort of things third quarter?
Yeah, we got to play for 48 minutes.
Just what was Josh Hart dealing with when he briefly left?
I haven't talked to medical. He had to go out. Jalen had to go out. OG had to go out.
Going back to Detroit, coach, what message do you send to the guys?
The challenge is to reset. Every game's different. And take a look at the film, see what we could do better, and be ready to go next game.
Tom, the crunch time in the fourth quarter, I know you talked a couple games ago about wanting to kind of get into the offense quicker. It seemed like you guys were getting into your sets a little bit late in the fourth. Was that something that you felt like was a problem, or did you think?
Well, yeah, we had some guys that were out, so that's the challenge. We didn't know when they were coming back, if they were coming back, so that's part of it. So you got different combinations out there.
Coach, can you talk about what Mitch gave you guys tonight?
Yeah, I thought he gave us good lift, good energy. The rebounding was good enough. Defense was good enough. Our turnovers hurt us, so we got to clean that up.
Okay, courtesy of MSG, that's the Knicks head coach, and I don't know what his... I don't know how I'm looking at Paulie. He's got to have a little bit more for me, a little different delivery. And I get it that, it's not the end of the world. The series isn't over. I just need a little bit more of an explanation. The Knicks take that timeout at 27-1. It's 103-97. The Pistons end up taking two more time. You guys know how the game ended. It's just a weird way to fold. And then even they had to go out and haven't talked to medical or whatever. Like, what was wrong? How do you not go, how do you go down with that lineup? I don't know. That's a tough way to lose. Maybe 888-808-1019. Let's talk to these Knicks fans. Nobody's stealing anybody's thunder. We are going to simply share the thunder. So if somebody says something that you were thinking or that you were going to say, it's okay. You'll get your turn as well. Ryan in Tarrytown, you get to go first here.
Thanks for taking my call, Keith. So I think, unfortunately, this is the beginning of the end for Tibbs, and I felt it in that last minute. I compare this Knicks team to the early 90s teams with Rick Pitino and Stu Jackson, and this is Tom Thibodeau's final product for the past couple of years, and it's just not getting the job done. And track record, he doesn't really get the job done in the playoffs, even with Derrick Rose, MVP, with the Bulls. I think we got to move on, and that's when the Knicks got Riley and moved on from there.
Is it not weird to anybody and yourself, Ryan? Thanks for the call. Is it not weird that that's an elimination game and it ends like that and all he says is coach's decision? It was a coach's decision. If it's a coach's decision, that falls on you. They're pointing the finger at you. If this thing goes south, I don't know. Matt in Manhattan on the fan next. What you got for us? Matt, you there?
Oh, Keith, sorry, man. I didn't hear you. How are you, man? It feels like therapy over here.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of puzzled by the coach's decision. And then in the post game, standing on business being like coach's decision.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with my son. We just left the game. We're sitting in traffic. I don't understand what Tibbs just said in that press conference at all, but you come out today, you get a 24-second violation on the first possession of the game. I just don't know why they're always coming out flat. I just don't know how
they were tense.
Want to be a championship.
They were tight in the beginning of the game. Go on.
You want to be a championship team. I know things happen. You got to go out there and win the game on the floor, but I don't know how you come home and play that game tonight. I don't know how you shoot like that from the line. I know you got Mitchell Robinson out there, and he's giving you other things. He's not going to give you free throws. I just, we're sitting here in disbelief. They just had nothing out there. It just seemed like couldn't get that big stop. All of those things that all the fans who are on hold right now are thinking. You just feels like we're all in it together. But when you need that big stop, when you need to make a play, this team just doesn't seem to do it.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Get home safe. Urgency. A sense of urgency is needed in those winning moments in crunch time. And I felt like they kind of froze. I felt like they were just melting. I'm sitting here watching the game like, are they just going to let this go down? Brunson and Hart got up. And it was like they just, I don't know, you're watching a car crash. They can't get into the game. And obviously the game comes down to the final minutes and seconds. But there's so much more than that, right? Matt just went back to how the game started. I'm watching the game. There's a bunch of misses. It doesn't look like a team that's stepping on the court saying, this ends tonight. Richie in Queens on the fan. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, that was a horrendous conference. I have no idea what he's saying.
You got to give us more than that as far as what you were thinking and why that unraveled that way. Okay, Richie just dropped. Jack in Sea Caucus, you're live. Go for it. Okay, something is happening to the phones because Jack just dropped and I didn't touch that. So, Donnie in Westchester, your turn.
Keith, you got me? Hear me?
Yes, right now. Go for it.
Okay, good. Listen, I was at the game too, driving home on the West Side Highway. Unfortunately, the team came out, as you said, flat. Didn't make shots, didn't want it as much as Detroit. Every loose ball seemed to go Detroit's way. You know, obviously buckets were in and out. Mikal Bridges was a non-factor until very late in the game, missed a lot of open shots. He's been a huge disappointment as far as I'm concerned. His numbers might look good, but in terms of the eye test, he just doesn't pass it. Hart is doing everything he possibly can to get the job done. Obviously, Brunson was a non-factor until late as well. But like you said, I couldn't agree more. Unfortunately, the team didn't want it tonight as much as Detroit. And people say that it sounds a little bit cliche, but they just didn't. Detroit wanted it more. Every possession that we had, we may have knocked down a shot that came right back and knocked it down right after. It just didn't feel like the sense of urgency was there. And a lot of Knicks fans tonight feel just very disappointed. It feels like it's inevitable that we're going to lose. I mean, no matter what, even if we get out of the series, we're going to lose in the next round and get smoked and embarrassed because we have zero depth. Bridges and Deuce and Payne and Achua has not seen the floor in a month. So it just feels like it's just deeply frustrating, and it feels like another kind of run it back type of year this year, and I hope it changes for next year. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it seems like we're prolonging the inevitable. It seems like the writing is on the wall, but like, I don't know. I heard people talk about the Celtics the last couple days on The Fan, my show, other shows, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Why are we talking about the Celtics or the fact that the Celtics lost a game or like why are we looking ahead? Why are we looking ahead? There was a lot of talk about finish your food. Don't play with your food. That's why I go back to having a sense of urgency, a closeout game in the Garden. You could end it here and then kick your feet up a bit. Now you got to go back to Detroit. You put the battery in their back. They have life now. They feel like they were cheated in game four. They feel like they're going to go back to Detroit and have some redemption. And right now your head coach doesn't have any answers. Maybe we can get some audio from some of the players. But like that is a tough way to go down. And when you look at the quarters and the breakdown, it's like that third quarter was the quarter where, I mean, I'm looking at the third quarter. I was actually home watching the third quarter, and I'm like, the Knicks aren't going to win this game. I think in the first half, I had in my notes that Brunson, he didn't hit a field goal until about a minute to go in the first half. And I know Cade Cunningham didn't have that many points either, but you look at the best players, it's like, okay, winning time, they're going to close it out. Brunson didn't have the opportunity. He wasn't on the floor. And I don't know if these guys are hurt. I know there was a lot of guys on the ground. There was a lot of collisions, a lot of they've been playing a physical series. You can't blame it on the refs this time. It's execution this time. It's energy this time. It's not coming out and just like delivering that final blow to say, yo, we're done with y'all. We're on to the next round. And I feel like that needed to happen tonight. Because we're prolonging the inevitable. If you can't beat the Detroit Pistons, a team that showed you that they lack experience, that they're young, the way that they blew games in their building, this was a game tonight that you absolutely had to have. Now the series goes six. I mean, we saw the Knicks go to Philadelphia and win it in six, but Philly's right down the road. They got to get on the plane. They got to go back to Michigan, and I think that those fans, they're going to be on one, and these players are on one. These players feel like, hey, we got a game taken from us. Now we're back in the series. We win one, we force a game seven, and then anything can happen in a game seven. Okay, Jack and Sea Caucus is back on the line. Your turn now, Jack.
Hey, Keith, thanks for getting me back on.
No problem.
Well, here we are 2 years in a row. I'm really frustrated by how the Knicks couldn't close out at home. And it's funny how you mentioned the third quarter. It's funny that MSG put up the graphic that the Knicks were, I think, minus 27 or 29 in the third quarters in this series. And it felt like they just got through that third quarter by the skin of their teeth. And then the fourth quarter, man, did that quarter go as fast as a fourth quarter I've ever seen. I usually think in a basketball game, the fourth quarter takes so much longer, but the final seconds, the final minutes just flew by. They slipped out of the Knicks' hands. And here we are again in the same position as we are last year, having to go on the road to win game six. But I'm completely confident that the Knicks will win game six in Detroit and count on them to play the Celtics well. So do not start going with the narrative that last year's Knicks would have started hitting these shots at the tail end of this game. Have faith in this team that they will come back in game six. Thank you so much, Keith.
Positive energy. It's needed right now. Thanks for the call, Jack. 888-808-1019. You got to believe. And listen, if they do lose this series, heads have to roll. And the way that the head coach spoke tonight and the way that they didn't execute, and he was kind of standing there with that timeout, and that timeout doesn't get called till 27 seconds left. And then, like, you still did get some shots that were knocked down. Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby knocked down some shots. Like, imagine if Brunson was in the game a little bit earlier, how those possessions could have played out. They have to survive this series. It has to be Knicks in six. I know a lot of you bet Knicks in six. I didn't bet it, but I was saying Knicks in six on the radio as soon as we knew the matchup. Because I was putting some respect on Detroit. A lot of people were picking Detroit to beat the Knicks. They're not supposed to beat the Knicks. The Knicks are supposed to meet the Celtics in the second round. But all the conversation about can the Knicks get a game off the Celtics, what the Celtics said, don't worry about that. Like, now there's worry here. Going back to Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, they haven't won a game over there. Are they going to go winless in their building? Are the Knicks going to go back there and turn it on again? Are they going to need help from the officials? Is Carl Anthony Towns going to be able to hit miraculous shots? Is Brunson going to be the clutch player of the year? Are they going to be healthy? Are they going to be available? Like, it's intriguing. We'll see. In Nutley, Joe is next on the Fan. What's up, Joe?
Hi, how's it going? Good evening. I'm so disheartened, and I find myself in other playoff series, like, you know, the Mets or obviously, the Yankees making the World Series last. Like, they have this Knicks team has a 0% chance to go through Boston. If they survive this series, then they have to go through Boston. They have no bench. They lack continuity, obviously, especially during the end of games. They don't have the depth, especially, that Boston has. But you almost won't be totally upset if they blow this lead, because of the fact that heads will roll. You know that changes are needed so much, so drastically, to even have a chance with the Thunder of the world, with the Celtics of the world, with the Cleveland of the world. And there's such a disparity between top of the NBA and where the Knicks are, middling, fighting tooth and nail in the mud with the Detroits of the world. And obviously in the Pacers of the world. Like, those teams, they just don't have enough and to beat those top echelon teams. And that's where the Knicks are right now. It's helpless. It's hopeless. It's a terrible place to be in purgatory. And that's, tonight was just another example of that. It's really, really tough pill to swallow.
Thanks for the call, Joe. It's not over until it's over. It does knock you right off your high horse, though. Coming off the high of the weekend and that game Sunday, and thinking, hey, here we go, Tuesday night in the Garden, going to close it out in five, get ready for the Celtics, who just went final. The Celtics defeat the Magic 120-89. Boston wins the series 4-1. They're waiting. They're waiting. Matt is in Maryland on the Fan in New York. What up, Matt?
They lost this game the same way they lose many games through the regular season. The third quarter. I don't know what it is that the Knicks aren't able to make adjustments. It doesn't matter if they're winning by 20 or if they're tied. They're going to lose the third quarter. And then they have to struggle to get back. It's like they have to work double as hard because of these third quarter collapses. And it's been a continuous thing
It's weird, though, right? Isn't it weird that, like, it seems like they take the third quarter off expecting to dominate the fourth quarter?
And you're not going to win in the playoffs that way. So if they get sent home, it's going to be because Tibbs isn't able to make adjustments. Because Tibbs and the coaching staff, I tell you, when they lost that one coach that went to Cleveland for a better job, the assistant coach, the one that used to always get in Randall's face, the short one. I don't remember his name. I think his name is Davis. That was the biggest loss to the Knicks. You know, but whatever he was doing, he improved Davis. And then Cleveland got better once he went to that. Johnny Bryant. Yeah, that's the coach. Yeah, that one. And it seemed like they should have overpaid to keep him. That was the biggest loss. And if Tibbs loses his job, because if they lose this series, they should interview him for a head coaching job. Because I don't know what he did with Randall, but he got him better. And I remember Mitchell thinks the world of him, Donovan Mitchell. And in addition to that, the big man on Cleveland got better. It's like he knows how to improve these players' conditioning. And if Bridges can't get in the weight room, it's like so many of his shots getting blocked. When Randall gave him an alley loop and he tried to lay it up, and that young kid Thompson just swatted that thing out. I said, oh, gosh. Dunk the ball, man. 6 times. He's gone. Like, you're killing me, Bridges. I'm like, you've been in the league too. You know, that's a guy I can tell that does not lift anyway.
Nah, he's not like that.
He's just playing on skill. And then, you know, these players today in the playoffs, the one that can thrive are the one that's in the weight room. That's, you know, OG, you can tell he's in the weight room. He's, you know? And
yeah, it's endurance, and, you know, it's stamina, and it's absolute strength.
And Bridges is lacking that. And it's like he wants a big contract, and it's you not playing like it. Like, this is the time for you to make your money. You want it? Here it is. Go and get it. But you know what? It's like sometimes he gets real passive and he just disappears. And then when the Knicks needed him, I'm like, where are you? You know, you don't want to get trying to do alley oop layups in the playoffs. You know you got to dunk that ball. You know? You at least try to dunk it so at least you can get a foul. If they block it,
A dog like that. Thanks for the call, Matt. We got a break. If you go to NBA.com, you can go to the box score and just click third quarter. And if you look at that third quarter, Karl-Anthony Towns had 0, but Ausar Thompson had 9 points. Cade Cunningham has 7 points. Go take a look while we go to break. I'm going to pull up some more stuff. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking Knicks. I know these Yankee fans want to talk about Ben Rice and Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger. You got off his back and he woke up for a night. I know these Mets fans want to talk about Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor. And you better call Tyrone. And the Devils are eliminated. That is the end of the New Jersey Devils season. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. The Knicks lose to the Pistons in the Garden, Game 5. They do not close them out, and they got to go back to Detroit and get that feeling again. They got to go back to Detroit. They won back-to-back games in Detroit. So they got to go back to Motown and get that feeling of being the enemy, get their fans to chant, F you, Brunson. F you, Brunson. They need to go back and, you know, make them leave the arena, right? Close them out on their own floor. Make their fans leave early again for the end of their 2025. 888-808-1019. Phil is in Sheepshead Bay on the Fan. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Keith, listen. I watched the whole game. You know what bothers me? There's a pattern going on here. For some reason, the third quarter is not to the liking of any of the Knicks. They look like they're standing around. One guy dribbles the ball and waits and waits and waits, finally takes a shot with 3 or 4 seconds left. That, to me, that's not basketball. I don't understand it.
Yeah, what do they do in the locker room during halftime? What is the strategy? What do they say?
I don't know what he's telling them. I have no idea. Because like when he was interviewed the other day, I watched that. He says, we know what we're doing. What we do is we play basketball. What does that mean? What's this strategy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I need a little more than that. And like you got a 1-point lead coming out of halftime in your building. You would think that there'd be some intensity, a sense of urgency to, hey, let's put our foot on their throats. Let's close them out. Let's punch them in the mouth so that they don't think that they can take this game from us in the second half. Win in the third quarter so the fourth quarter's a little bit easier?
Yeah, it's completely crazy. I just don't understand it. Anyway, you have a good evening, Keith. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Yeah, I don't know what to tell y'all, man. It's basketball, and it's, you know, when you look at these games, they've been very close, all of them. I didn't have a good feeling about this game, though. I didn't have a good feeling at any point during this game that, like, the Knicks had it. And it's been a good series, Detroit versus New York. It goes back to Detroit. And the NBA wants this, right? This is the first round. The NBA certainly wants this. Right. When you look at the first round, like Cleveland swept the Heat and the Heat shouldn't even have been there. They got completely outclassed, embarrassed. Jimmy Buckets is back. Playoff Jimmy. Golden State is up 3-1 over the Young Rockets. Ant-Man and them. Naz Reid. Yeah, they're up 3-1 over Lakers in 5. No coincidence, Shannon Sharp is in trouble and them Lakers are in trouble. And, tonight, Giannis goes home. Done. Pacers win 4-1. And the Celtics advance. Boston, they handle their business. They lost that one game, whatever. They're done. So now it sets up for closeout games tomorrow in the West. And then Thursday, we'll see what happens in the Knicks-Pistons series. If that game 6 happens, Knicks and 6. And also with the Nuggets and Clippers, their series is tied 2-2. They want these series. Some of these series got to go the distance. Some of these series got to go 6-7. Mike in Kings Park on the Fan. You're up next.
Hey, Keith, how are you? I'm a little disappointed. They played so sloppy tonight. The turnovers, the missed free throws, and just kind of lacked the killer instinct in a closeout game. But I got to say, I think people are like a little rough on Tibbs. Where the Knicks were and where they are now, Tibbs has a lot to do with that. You know, last year they were banged up in that series against the Pacers. I think a healthy Knicks team could have got to an Eastern Conference final last year. And I just got to get it, relax a little. We're still in this series. We still have an opportunity to go against the Celtics, and you see what happens.
Yeah, I think we'd be tough on any coach with the way that that game ended tonight, though, Mike. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I don't care who it is. Somebody's got some splaining to do. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's J.B. Bickerstaff. I don't care if it's Phil Jackson. Like, yo, what happened down the stretch that we didn't have our all-star clutch player, one of the most clutch players ever for the Knicks? Like, I just was hearing how clutch this guy is. Man, during the game, they even flashed how many points he scored in the fourth quarter. But he's hurt, he's tired, he's got to come out. In my chat, one of my boys in my chat just says Alexander said, yo, this Jalen Brunson thing with him always getting hurt in the fourth is getting ridiculous. Like, can we just play the fourth out without the theatrics of always, like, he's got to come out, and then this thing happens where you don't know if he's coming back in, or is he coming back in with the cape on to save the day, or is he compromised? And even Tibbs said that in the postgame. He didn't know if they were coming back in or out. So were you potentially thinking that it was wraps? Like, they weren't coming back in, and then 2 minutes comes, and you're like, they get back up. You're like, all right, we're going to try and get you back in, but I'm not going to smoke my last time out. Tick, 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 tick. Game over. Zach, out in Lakewood. Hello, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's going on, Keith? I just came back from watching the game with all my boys, you know, Doobie, Curly, Bosch, you know, love us kicking over. And all my friends right after, they're like, yo, Knicks, the whole entire season, we're getting banged up. We're getting bullied out here. In MSG, we're getting bullied. What the hell is going on? Getting bullied. This team was no shyest 2 years ago, and we're getting bullied from this team. We have Brunson. We have a much higher apparel than these guys. What's going on?
What's going on? Jalen Duren, Asor Thompson, Tobias Harris is from L.I. Tobias Harris is a native New Yorker, and very early in that game, he came out looking like one. You know, he goes out there and scores 17 points. I should have bet him for his three prop. He hit three threes. So, you know, when you, this is what you faced tonight. You faced a team that had their backs against the wall. You faced a team that won 14 games last year and added 30 to that this year. And they really do believe that, like, they have a special team and it's Detroit versus everybody and they're the bad boys part two. And, you know, that they got jobbed in the last game. And like, they have a way about them. You're facing a team that wasn't going for it tonight. They weren't willing to die tonight. They're not good. Like, they're not that good. They're doing this without Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart. They're doing this with a motley crew of veterans, castoffs, and young guys who are just kind of making their name in the league. But they're tough, they're scrappy, and they've lived to fight another day. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Babylon on the Fan next. What's up, Ray?
I wonder if the physicality of this game had anything to do with the outcome. Cat got his butt kicked. You know, he was there towards the end of the game. But did you see how bruised up and banged up he was? And the taunting by Thompson? I just felt like they, like almost as if they were just taunting the Knicks and just playing mind games with them. And just like you described Detroit, you know, they were scrappy. They were a motley crew. To say that they're scrappy, I would go as far as to say that they played like punks. A lot of that game was like street ball.
But that's what they do. They're not good. They're not a finesse team. They're scratching and clawing. They're trying to bang you around and get you off your rhythm and get you out of your,
And Keith, that's exactly what they did. I mean, Brunson couldn't get anything going tonight. He couldn't make a three-pointer for his life. You know, the only place that we had the Knicks and the advantage was on the three-point, you know, with the free throws. That's it. You know, Detroit was terrible on the free throws. I think the next game, Knicks got to come out and just, you know, put these guys in their place. They're the better team, but I just wonder if they got to get more physical. I mean, is that an issue here?
I mean, it depends because, you know, it's game by game, and we talk about how it's being officiated and the whistle and this, that, and the other. Thanks for the call, Ray. The Knicks didn't hit their free throws. That one of the first things I said was, you lose by 3 points, and you got to think about shooting 59.3% from the charity stripe. 16 of 27. So you missed 11 shots that were given. They missed 10, and they got to the line more than you. But at the end of the day, like I said, they wanted it more. They wanted it more. There's got to be more of a killer instinct. There's got to be more of a just like, all right, we're at home. We're not trying to get back on that plane and go to Michigan. And you're not beating us tonight. And it seemed like for most of the game, Detroit was in control. They were dictating how the game was going to go. And they were the ones saying, you're not beating us tonight. All right. Let's take another break. When we come back, we'll take the rest of the calls from the Knicks fans, but I know these baseball fans are itching. There's so many baseball fans in New York that don't care about basketball. They want to talk about Carlos Rodon. He was perfect through five innings. You know, they want to talk about David Peterson. They want to talk about the Mets bullpen, the Yankees bullpen. They want to talk about both lineups, Luis Angel Acuña and Anthony Volpe. And I don't know, Oswald Peraza. We'll do that. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Keith McPherson on The Fan. All right, back to it. 888-808-1019. The Knicks lose. But it's the second loss of the series. Second loss at the Garden. That's the only place that these young Pistons can get a win. It's deflating. It's not what you want. Your hopes are to gentlemen sweep, celebrating your own building. There was so much talk about it's been 20-some plus years since the Knicks were able to win a series on their home floor and celebrate in the Garden. Here's another year that that won't be happening because that's not going to happen in the next round. Well, actually, I don't know. It could happen game seven. It could happen game seven. But why stress yourself out with a game seven? Why go through all that? Could have just did it tonight. Where was Brunson? We didn't get to see Captain Clutch put the cape on at the end of the game. Why can't they just have a good third quarter and make the fourth quarter less stressful? Mark is in California on The Fan. What's up, Mark? Marky, West Side. There he is.
So it looks like the Knicks traded 5 first-round picks for Allen Crabb.
shout out to Allen Crabb.
Disgusting, bro. And what's crazy about it is like, listen, not even Brunson, because he was off tonight, and I'm going to give it to him. He has an off night, whatever. But Mikal Bridges shoots 30 shots a game, misses 28, 27 of them, and the three that go in are just all jump-back three. That's three that he took tonight was crazy, but the shot before that, when he just pumped up and he tied the game, then the very next pass, Josh Hart steals it and he throws the ball down the court, like
over Mitchell Robinson's head.
What are you doing, dude? Mitchell Robinson was on one leg, by the way. He was never going to catch that ball. And then he had another shot in the corner where he just fades away and the ball was just a complete air ball, and he missed 4 shots tonight.
Mikal Bridges is not that guy, man. He's not that dude, man. And I know Knicks fans could have told you all that. Like, when the lights are dim, when it's meaningless, like his Iron Man streak is meaningless because he just, you know, will play until he fouls someone and gets out.
I would rather have Timothy Chalamet come off the bench, bro, than literally have him.
He's got to book his tickets for Detroit. He's got to be out there with Spike.
It's crazy. Knicks have missed, and I've been saying this, I'm not a kid's fan at all. I'm just not, okay? He did make adjustments with Cat, obviously, in game 2 and game 3 and game 4, where in game 2 he was obsolete, and then 3 and 4 he kind of just turned around. But how many times a game do you see Jalen Brunson ISO the ball? It makes no sense. He called off Durant with Anobi today, and then he proceeds to hold the ball and then dribble for 5 seconds and turns it over. Like, you're calling off OG.
Because it's really like,
dribble the ball around.
It's him or Cat. 2 games ago, he got everybody involved. He did not have anything early on in this game. The energy was not right in the beginning of this game. They were tight in the beginning of this game. They were tense in the beginning of the game. They did not come out confident in the beginning of the game. It did not seem like a Knicks team that was coming out there to close them out tonight.
This Pistons game is pretty close to unwatchable because these guys have basically been playing tackle football for like literally 4 games. And some of these touch fouls tonight, there's just no consistency to these calls at all. It just seems like when the Knicks are at home, more calls go Detroit's way because obviously in game 4, the debacle was all Knicks. All the calls were Knicks. And now you come out, and now it's just like all Detroit. So what's going to happen next game? It's just going to be all Knicks?
We don't know. It's tough on the officials, too. They don't know how to call it. They don't want to be saying at the end of the game that they made a mistake. They don't want to be held accountable. It's tough. They want to let them play because it's the playoffs. But also, if you see a foul, call a foul. Yeah, I don't know. It's the human element.
I'm also getting really sick and tired of Knicks fans, bro, coming out. Your last caller was like, oh, where were we a couple years ago? Dude, you need to realize this isn't the first year with Tibbs. This is 5 years with him. And even if the Knicks make it out of this round, depending on how they play against Boston, if they get blown out in those games, I'm still firing Tibbs. because it's how they play and how they prepare for Boston. Because Boston is a great team. You're not expecting the Knicks to win, but they do a lot of things that match up very well with the Knicks versus Boston. Knicks need to take away the three because Boston is one of the best shooting threes in the game, but they're also prone to foul trouble, which the Knicks are good at. So there's a lot of things that they both do very well. I'm not expecting like a 130-83 blowout, right? But if they lose by 10 points, I'd be like, okay, hats off to the Knicks. They at least fought around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Tibbs is going to have to answer some questions. Thanks for the call, Mark. I said I was looking for information during the break, and that third quarter, even without seeing or hearing it, you can just use your eyes. The eye test tells you. And before we go to the next break, I'll read this. This is coming from a Twitter user named Sean. Sean with the W, live from the Mecca faculty, Knicks Film School. I'm going to assume he's credible, and I'm going to assume that these numbers are correct. Knicks third quarter this season. In game one, they were outscored 36-26. In game two, they were outscored 20-18. In game three, they were outscored 30-27. In game four, they were outscored 20-18. Game five, they were outscored 28-24. They lose the third quarter. They lose the third quarter every game of the series. Not for nothing, if we actually go back and look at every quarter of this series, they've probably lost more quarters of this series than they've won, yet they still are up 3-2 with a chance to take it in six. All right, 888-808-1019. I'll say good morning on the other side. We'll start to talk about the Yankees. We'll start to talk about the Mets. And maybe we'll commiserate if any Devils fans want to call in and weigh in on the season that was. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.